Hare Krishna. Please let us say the pranam mantras together. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paskatya Deshatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Hare.
My dear devotees, I would like to now introduce your turn Nam Smaranam for one mantra only, and then to the subject of Smaranam. Can you please try to chant with me the Maha Mantra so that every single syllable which you pronounce is going through your conscious awareness? This would mean that together with your tongue and the vocal cords, the mind is engaged with the mantra, or the mantra is in the mind. You know this simple thing under names like pay attention, focus, concentrate. And these are definitely good entry points. But we speak here of holding of what Dhyana Chandra, the moon of meditation, does. That's his name. There's one who has the name the moon of meditation. Wow. Dhyana Chandra. He says the mantra should be in the mind, and the mind should be in the mantra. It's, in other words, a passive receptivity of the mantra. When the mantra is received in the mind, it's also an active, willful bringing the mind in the mantra. I know it sounds, if we are not used to meditational language, a little cryptic, but for now, just be fully present and imagine like you think a thought. Can we think a thought? Think for a moment, pizza with olive oil. Think this for a moment. Pizza with olive oil. I can feel the mental energy is not there. Would you like another object? The Yamuna. Think now Yamuna and see the Yamuna. Yamuna. You're not doing it. I can see it in the energy. You're the Hare Krishna people. I know. You know chanting. Okay, let's make it in your language. Focus now your entire attention on the mantra. Gokrishna, sing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, this didn't work. Now try to chant prayerfully, perhaps. There's Krishna and there's you, and you are chanting now the mantra. Again, Hare, yes, better. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, 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 Hare Rama, Hare. Is he will contemplate the mantra. When he chants, there's only the mantra in his mind. There's nothing else in his mind, and he tries to focus. Then he will move on to Rupa Smaranam, the form of Lord Krishna, then Guna Smaranam, and then Lila Smaranam. It's a school, it's a training, it's something that Jiva Goswami describes in detail in the Bhakti Sandarbha. For our, we have to know the word Smaranam in ISKCON is seen in a particular historical context, which is difficult. The difficulty is that in the times of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the Vaishnava world split into those who are preaching, the ghost Yanandis, and those who practice the bhajan, private internal worship. And because this split happened in Bengal, where culturally people quarrel as soon as there is a difference, they don't integrate usually. This is how this is just a particularity of certain wiring. This also became a hotly contested area. Bhajanandis, they had nothing good to say about the ghost Yanandis, and the ghost Yanandis also, where a rift happened. No, we don't want to go into this history. In our movement, also, there was a time when devotees felt the need of more nourishment internally, and they were looking innocently and joyfully into our tradition, but it was perhaps not managed so nicely from both sides. I cannot say anything about, because it involves much higher developed Vaishnavas than me. But it became a difficult situation that even caused heartbreak on both sides. So the word Smaranam has not a very easy historical background in old times, from times before our times, and also in our times. But still, we cannot do without it, because both from the scriptures, it is an essential part of the ninefold practice of devotional service, and just from our reality as human beings, the mind must be engaged. Otherwise, we feel hollow, shallow. We have not a purpose really to live for. Half of our existence, maybe 70, even 70%, is happening internally. And if that is not fully purified by thoughts of Krishna, there is a dissatisfaction. Some say perhaps that's the reason why so many of our those who become interested in ISKCON move on to other movements after some time, because they feel the internal nourishment is not so much there. So from this is the, from looking from the human experience on the need of smaranam, but there is also this very important shloka which describes the essence of Krishna consciousness. Smartavyam satatam Vishnu vismartavya nayatu chet sarva vidi or your new devotees nishedasya etayo eva kinkara. To always remember the Lord and to never forget Him, this is the essence. All the rules and regulations, rules is you don't eat meat and onion and garlic, and regulations, you get up early, you read shastras, you do things that regulate your life. All these are kinkaris. Kinkari, what should I do? They are, in other words, servants. A servant asked, what should I do? They are secondary. So from this, some people say, first get the inside right, then the outside will follow. It seems some of us think, first get the outside right, and then the inside will follow. It's not entirely wrong, but yes, there are two ways of approaching. So in my lectures here, here's a little audience, but the lectures which I intend to give in the later part of my life, I would love to speak more on Smaranam, but bring it to a very uncomplicated, very necessary, very easy to understand, and extremely practical form that is absolutely consistent with Prabhupada's teachings. I take great courage in a thought which I want to share with you. Smaranam, or remembering, remembrance, is described by Srila Jiva Goswami in some detail. He starts that with the first level, which is simple remembrance. He calls it Smaranam, which will bring, where we willfully bring a memory or a thought of Krishna in our mind. No, we say, I should think of Krishna. Okay, how do I do this? Then this is And then there are answers to this question. The second level is dhyana, where you hold the remembrance a little bit longer in your mind. It's not so shanai, means passing remembrance at the first. And then it increases and increases until it becomes uninterrupted. This is called the fourth level, dhruvanusmriti. If you pour a glass of honey out and the stream of honey goes uninterrupted, hopefully in the right plate, otherwise you mess up your whole everything. Honey is making everything sticky, and then it ends in samadhi, where very, very advanced stages are there. So I will not talk about these things, because my conviction is when I do my first steps on a path, I will eventually reach. So I think if you just start Smaranam, you will reach wherever the Lord wants you to reach, how far you get in this life. This I will not talk about even. I have faith that someone who enters a door will also enter a room. So someone who starts with Smaranam, on that first level, where we will see Prabhupada talked a lot about this, he will or she will discover wonders and miracles in their life. But one has to cross a threshold and enter into this practice. This is my purpose. I hope you are all happy and unafraid of this subject now, and will enter nicely, will feel some great satisfaction in your life. When I was a child, my parents saw that I was very restless, and they educated me. I went into a school for good behavior, where I learned many dances. Seven dances I'm proficient in. Have learned this classical and modern twist and everything. And hip hop I have not learned. I'm an old man. I also got a passport which allowed me free access to all theaters of Hamburg, that North German town. I could go at any time into any theater and look at theater, because my parents thought he needs to be cultured, he needs to be educated. Yes, and I remember the Thalia Theater, which became famous for the actor Gustav Gründgens. German words, you can forget them. He played, he excelled in playing a certain role in Goethe's, I don't know how you say it with English pronunciation, Johann Wolfgang Goethe. Have you heard the name Goethe? Yes. Goethe, how do you say Goethe, maybe in English, or I don't know how you pronounce it. He played the Mephistopheles in Faust, in Dr. Faust. Mephistopheles, you know who that is? Lucifer, the one whose name should not be spoken in Christian, devil. No, he played the devil. It was a very, he played it so excellent that as he explored the role, he more and more took on the qualities of the role. He became like that. And his wife would report to the newspaper. He sometimes wakes up in the night and goes, ah! I don't know what is the future of our marriage. I remember these lines in the newspaper, because by thinking and feeling very important, this character, he became like this. Now in the Bhagavatam, you will be surprised that there is a verse which describes what is happening, and then there is a principle behind it that is absolutely important to understand. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Good. Kita pishashkritam dhyayan kudyam tena praveshita jati tat satmatam rajan puvarupam asanchayan. O king. Who is speaking? Shukadev Goswami. Who is listening? Wonderful. Once a wasp forced a weaker insect to enter his hive, you know where they live, the wasp, and kept him trapped there. In great fear, the weak insect constantly dhyayan, means meditated, upon his captor. And in the same body, without giving up his body, he gradually achieved the same state of existence as the wasp. He became a wasp-like, no? Thus, one achieves a state of existence according to one's constant concentration. Let us just zoom out and look at it. Okay, here is a strong insect, a wasp. It gets hold of its victim, a weaker insect. I saw this once in Puri. I watched it with horror and brought it into a hole and then sealed it by taking earth and mixing it with some saliva, and now the weaker insect was inside awaiting the wasp to come back and abuse it. Let's speak modern so that every one of you is here with me. And do something terrible to it. And the poor wasp, it's not poor wasp, the poor insect was thinking, and gradually became like this. The principle here is explained by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita in the word sada tat bhava bhavita. What one thinks about, that one attains without fail. It's our mind that helps us, that shapes our body and shapes our life, my dear devotees. Or if you want to have it in simple language, we have always the newcomer in our audience. Happiness is an inside job, and so is misery in life. It happens first in the mind, and then sada tat bhava bhavito, it then describes your existence, physical and the rest. Yes, the wasp another insect, without giving up his body, gradually achieved the same existence. When you always put unwholesome thoughts into your mind, you will become totally unwholesome in your life. Like, I must say, I had a very difficult conversation yesterday, which was very difficult for me, and I had the worst nightmares I can describe in the night. It was still going on, and I could trace it back to this, and then solve it, of course. No, we don't want to stay anywhere. So this is a fact of life. It is therefore so important that we hear about Krishna, we chant his glories, and then this shouldn't go out of our life. We remember Krishna Smaranam throughout our stormy, wild little lives. There are many Upanishadic references, and I have a few here, which describe that what you are thinking of, that you become. For instance, here is one from the Chandogya Upanishad. Each person has a mind of his own. What a person thinks and wills in his present life, he becomes when he leaves this world. One should bear this in mind and meditate accordingly. Fill his mind accordingly. My dear devotees, it matters what you think. Yes, you will not get karmic reactions in the Kali Yuga for your thoughts. This was in other ages, because in this age, people's minds are more uncontrolled. However, what you think is what you become in your life, in the future. Therefore, Prabhupada speaks of mental hygiene in the Upadeshamrita. What is hygiene? Most of you, I assume, did some hygienic work this morning. What do you do? You expel dirty things. You sit and, let's not be too grave, too descriptive. You go into that room where you go alone, and then you go to that one corner and you expel waste. Then you go and take care that bacteria and anything is removed from the tooth and the mouth. And then you usually go to the shower and take away the sweat which was accumulating in the night, and through which a lot of toxins came from inside your body to the outside of the skin, needs to now be removed. Hygiene, you do it in the ears so that you can hear better by removing the vox that accumulates. What else? Hygiene. Maybe more. I think we have the idea. And you also need to practice mental hygiene. What you think? Is there an envious thought? Is there some suffering that you have mentally? Do you feel misunderstood? Do you feel misjudged? It will not help you to put on a mask of everything is all right when it's not all right inside. You have to practice mental hygiene. In Europe, I don't know if in America, people did not take regularly showers, but what they did is they put powder everywhere. Good fragrant powder, But they got so much skin diseases and so much problem because you have to get rid of it when you sweat. You can't put powder on top of it to hide it. In the same way, you can't avoid mental cultivation in Krishna consciousness. You can put on a smile and deceive yourself and the world, but you will suffer behind the powder or the smile and the social dealings. So smaranam is that process by which we purify the heart by inviting Krishna inside. Yata yato pasade tad eva bhavati. As one worships and meditates, so one becomes. Translating these simple principles into now spiritual practice. Mental hygiene is what culture, what anyone does who is aware of these principles. But now, to bring this into sadhana, spiritual practice, Narottam Das says, it's in Prema Bhakti Chandrika, verse 55. I say it in Bengali, Sharana Bhabi Bajoho, Shita Deha Babataha. Some cultural entertainment for you. And Iskam we would say, Sarana Bhavitayaha Siddha Deha Pabatahe. Bengali wouldn't understand what you say. Said, whatever I contemplate, do you know this word, contemplate? It's bring something in the mind, hold it there, and it comes from the Latin word contemplo. It means with a temple. You are in the mind as if you are in a temple. Sacred thoughts, holy thoughts, no? Whatever I contemplate, or in simple language, aspire, think of, during the practice of my devotional service, my bhakti, no? Will certainly be achieved upon perfection in the spiritual body. My dear devotees, what you bring in your mind will describe what you become later. It's only, Narottam Das Thakur says, it's only a consideration of immaturity and maturity. The example is that of a green mango. It's already a mango, but when it becomes mature, it becomes succulent. Oh, you can drink it and so on. No? So in the beginning you may think green thoughts, but later you will find yellow ripe thoughts in your mind. No? What you practice, that is what you become. By the way, that's the entire idea behind spiritual practice. What I practice now, that is what I become later. Sadhana, no? It prepares me for sat, for the eternal existence in my life. Everyone here knows this in terms of push-ups. What I practice, how many? That is how good I am in push-up. I'm at the moment at 9.5. I can't do more. I pass out after 9.5. But it's not that important to me. So I will go up to 10, then I'm satisfied. But what I practice, I have to do for this regular push-ups. Then it's easy to do this. But what people don't know in our superficial times is that this also holds true to your mind. The mind is, after all, a big, subtle muscle that has to be practiced. Good. Narottam Das Thakur concludes his thoughts on this. I constantly serve the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna and think of them with attachment. Have you heard this? He's not just serving, doing, bringing things and decorating his deities. What are the names of his deities which are worshipped in Vrindavan? Shishi Radha Braj Mohan. He does not just decorate them. No, there's more to it. And think of them with attachment, with feelings. Yugal Charan Sebi Nirantara E Bhabi Anurage Tahibe Sadaya. This is so important that Jiva Goswami quotes a verse from the Garuda Purana where he makes the it's in the beginning of his please excuse me. Sorry. Hare Krishna. In the beginning of his description of Smaran, he says, he quotes a verse from Garuda Purana. It's quite graphic. It's a verse which really motivates one. He says, one must cry out loud for each moment. Did I say he said? That's wrong. The Garuda Purana says, Jiva Goswami quotes it, one must cry out loud for each moment that was not spent meditating on Sri Hari, just as one cries out after having been robbed of all one's possessions by a robber. Can you imagine? You go somewhere, you have all the Lakshmi which you want to spend in Vrindavan on deity paraphernalia, you want to bring different things for different devotees, and you also want to ornament yourself with nice dhoti and kurta. This is all there, and then it's stolen by some gunda on the way to Radhakund. They were very active for some time. I was in situations where gundas attacked our three-wheeler, you know, and then they wanted to have Lakshmi, but when I saw it, I just quickly put it under the seat and put just 10 rupees in the pocket here, and then so on. But when they get everything, oh no, this is not good. So this happens when Maya enters your mind and pulls it away from where it finds rest, shelter, purity, and real life, you know, that is in the thoughts of Krishna. One should cry as if everything is robbed. Now, my dear devotees, there is a problem which we all have. Maybe two or three exalted souls here don't have this. Our mind is not up to it. Our mind is full with memories of all the movies which we secretly see, of all the things which we think about others, many times critical and judgmental. And therefore it is already full with material thoughts, and it cannot and does not want to think of Krishna. Mahaprabhu describes this, malina mana hoile nahe nahe, nahe means non, not Krishna rasmaran. When the mind is contaminated, one cannot remember Krishna. One, in fact, doesn't like it. The mind doesn't like it. The mind likes what it thinks of. Therefore, in our movement, if you see that your lecture is not received, everyone is bored, talk about food preparations, and everyone, oh, yes. Or talk about a scandal in ISKCON in some candid detail, and you have your audience immediately. Because the mind can likes to engage with things with which are on its level, you know, on its thing. Therefore, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, a verse is included which describes the unfortunate and split situation of a devotee. Yes, he has Shraddha. Yes, he is philosophically convinced he should purify his consciousness, but the mind doesn't want it. The mind wants other things. So there is a prayer which describes the helpless condition of a devotee and the hope of a devotee. The prayer goes like this. Most of us don't speak Sanskrit regularly, at least not in our conversation, so I will just read the first line. Yuvatinam jatajuni, O my Lord, may my mind find pleasure in you, just as the mind of a young girl finds pleasure in thoughts of a young boy. And the mind of a young boy finds pleasure in thoughts of a young girl. This is what happens spontaneously. This is what our sanskaras from many lifetimes tell us. No? Sexual attraction. There is a devotee who says, my intelligence has awakened, and he prays it's included in Chaitanya Charitamrita, because this is a problem that must be addressed before you speak in any detail about Smaranam. When Kaliya saw Krishna first, he didn't react like a devotee. He wanted to bite the soft chest of Lord Krishna. Can you imagine? Because he had a dirty mind. He could not appreciate Krishna. For him, he wanted to attack. So here is the prayer of a devotee who addresses this, who confronts this, who pulls it out of the suppressed region in his psychology, and who just brings it out, and let's talk about this. Kamadinam katina katita palita dunideshas. I'm not sure if this is the right meter. I don't know the meter here. Kamadinam katina katita palita duni deshas desham jata mayina karuna natrapa no pashanti. Oh my Lord, there is no limit to the unwanted orders of lusty desires. Although I have rendered these desires so much service, so much, always, they have kept me up, always, they have not shown any mercy to me. I have not been ashamed to serve them even, nor have I even desired to give them up. O my Lord, head of the Yadu dynasty. Recently something happened, however. I was on Govardhan retreat. No, that's not in the verse. Recently, however, my intelligence has been awakened. Previously, I was not ashamed of these desires. I lived them. That's life. Previously, I also did not want to give them up, really. But now something has happened. What has happened to me? Now I'm giving them up due to transcendental intelligence. I now refuse to obey the unwanted orders of these desires. And I now come to you to surrender myself at your fearless lotus feet. Kindly engage me in your personal service and save me. Hare Krishna. It is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita Matya 22:16. I think many of you are familiar with this verse. In the Bhagavatam, there is an interesting situation. There was one king called Jarasandha. Jara is the person who is a little bit like his mother. She was a devilish woman, a witch actually, who knew the art, which appears later in Frankenstein movies, you know, parts are joined together which are not living, and then tang, they live. So she had joined two body halves and tang, did some tantric magic, and out of these roaring came this demon Jarasandha. He is known for attacking Krishna. How many times? 18 altogether, yes. 17 times he was defeated. The 18th time Krishna spared him for later. He did not enter a confrontation with him. He had another plan. And this king was so hateful of Krishna that all the other small kings, in India at that time, it didn't take a lot of territory to be a king. There were many small kingdoms. He captured many kings. It's described, let me say, in chapter 73, and he brought them. It's already here. He brought them into a fortress. He called it, it was called Giridroni Fortress. It was inside a mountain. The entrance was sealed. Does this remind you of a verse you have heard today? Yes, when the wasps captured the weaker insect, no? And it was sealed. It was 20,800 kings. He conquered them in combat and threw them into a prison. And he kept them there, and his idea was he would sacrifice them as human sacrifices before Lord Shiva. Can you imagine what this means? I mean, should I tell you? They would be brought out. They would be brought to a Shiva Lingam. They would be washed before. Their arms were held. They couldn't fight. And then they were, I don't know what, if they were tortured before, but then they were cut, their heads were cut, and the blood rushed out. What do you think did the kings think about when they were in their prison cells? You look at me, I look at you. Of course, they must have trembled in fear and thought about their fellow kings. I had one god brother in Beirut. He was in Beirut. He was captured there. He was a preacher. Tribhuvanat, some of you who come from England have heard his name and seen him. He's one of the heroes of the Yatra there. And he was then brought into a small cell like this, 1 meter, 1 meter. He said he could not lie down. There was constant light on him. He did not know day and night. And what he would hear from time to time is shots, poof, and screams. Before the prison cell, there was a court, and the prisoners were brought out and executed by bullets. That's quite human in comparison to what Jarasandha did. And he knew if they wouldn't get the what they wanted to get from him, a confession on something, he would be next. He would be brought out also there. Because you may by now be so much in the story and asked yourself, did Krishna protect him? Yes, he was later sent to England. He was seen innocent, so it went well for. He told me this was the best time of his life. I must say, Tribhuvanath was a son of a general. He was a little tough. I said, the best time of your life. You couldn't sleep and eat properly, and hygienic situations must have also been very bad. No, Maharaj, it was the best time of my life. You please tell me how it was the best time of your life. He said, I was forced to think of Krishna. All I knew, the state of my mind would determine my next situation. So what I did, Maharaj, I did this. I did all my services in my mind for Krishna. I made festivals. I danced. I sang, all in my mind, all thinking. I ate prasadam. You have no idea what preparations I ate. Yes. And I did this and I did that. And after some time, I could think of Radha Gokulananda for a long time. I first started with service in my mind. Then after some time, I could actually think of the person I'm serving. I never was so Krishna conscious in my life. And I came to the state where I thought, I don't care. I think Krishna will protect me somehow. Either it will go very fast and I bang, that's it, I leave the body, or something else. So the kings thought were in this situation, and what they did, my dear devotees, they somehow managed, I don't know the details, but to inform one person who came out of it with a message of these kings to Krishna. And the messenger described in some details, Krishna, these are actually your devotees. They are not on the side of Jarasandha. That's why Jarasandha captured them. Please save them. And Krishna saved them, actually. He actually came there after he had first arranged that Jarasandha was again disjointed. He had been brought together in this tantric way, in this magical way. Who disjointed him? Bhima, you know, wonderful. Bhima Krishna, they had been fighting and there was no result at all. So Krishna had taken a twig and just shown Bhima, this is the way. And Bhima understood, okay, I must. He jumped on him, he jumped on one leg, and then he ripped him up from the private parts upwards. And in this way, he was finally, the world could breathe happily. Vyarasandha was gone. Now it's interesting, when the kings were seeing Krishna, they asked him for a blessing that very much had to do with their imprisoned state. They said, Tangna samadhi shopayam yena te charana bayo smriti yatana viramet api sangsaratam iha. Please tell us how we may constantly remember your lotus feet, though we continue in the cycle of birth and death in this world. Vishwanath said, Krishna replies, No. You say you want to remember me while you go through this world. Why don't you pray for Sayujya Mukti, to leave this world, to be liberated? Take from me the boon of Sayujya Mukti. Then the kings reply, No. Please teach us the exact method that we can also understand and execute, by which we will never forget your lotus feet. We have no desire to end samsara, nor do we desire that which is most sought after, namely prema bhakti. We are not qualified for prema bhakti, but we want to remember you. This is our desire. Give us the method. And then, they go to Nam Smaranam. They glorify Krishna. Please repeat after me. Krishnaya Vasudevaya.
Krishnaya Vasudevaya.
Yes. Half of you are not with me. Please come, everyone come. You can tell by the sound, no? So now, with some enthusiasm, perhaps it has something to do with you. Krishnaya Vasudevaya.
Krishnaya Vasudevaya.
Haraye Paramatmane.
Haraye Paramatmane.
Pranata Klesha Nashaya.
Pranata Klesha Nashaya.
Govindaya Namo Namaha.
Govindaya Namo Namaha.
Again and again we offer our obeisances unto Lord Krishna Hari, the son of Vasudev. That supreme soul, Govinda, vanquishes the suffering of all who surrender to him. And what Krishna tells him is very simple. He says, He describes what the kings did before. They were attached to the material life. They were attached to wealth and perhaps also queens and so on. They had this kamadinam. They were serving the cruel master of their material desires. So he says, be detached. Udasina shadeha dov. Be attached. Be detached from the body. Remain satisfied in the self. Remember, happiness is an inside thing, no? And keep your vows while concentrating your mind fully on me. In this way you will attain me. Four things he tells them. Be detached from excessive sense gratification. That's what the kings do. You don't have excessive sense gratification because you have no money, you know, and so on. But some detachment, four rules or regulations, no? Remain self-satisfied. You know, for that you need to have some spiritual practice in order, some deep spiritual practice. Steadfastly keep your vows, and then concentrate your mind on me. This is the first step of Smaranam. So, my dear devotees, we intend to do this, and I want to end my presentation by asking you to. We will do now a meditational exercise. Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you tired?
No.
Yes, finally, an honest man. It was one honest man in a group of more than one. So, we are tired. What do we do now? Kirtan. Just 2 minutes getting up and dancing and singing, no? Yes? Just please get up. It will be only 2 minutes, but let us not misuse the holy name for a wake up exercise. It's not. Bring your mind as you sing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Loud please.
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare.
Hare Rama Hare Rama.
My dear devotees, as we sing now, Nam Smaranam means, as you chant the name, let it go in your mind. Not just the vocal cords. It's not a funny exercise. It's glorifying Krishna. And we will sing now. Please join me. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
Much without talking, sit down for your meditation. Please collect yourself. Try to sit in an erect way. That means, how do you say in English? Sit tall, you say? Mm. I want to say, as we will now relax, some of you will start coughing because the relaxation effect has this. Don't worry. It's a normal reaction of the physical body. Try to now just be fully present to the exercise. Soon we will enter into a meditative space. Please relax your body, starting with the legs. Let them just relax. Your upper body, relax. Can you feel your shoulders? Please move them a little. Yes, that's your shoulders. Relax. And turn into a nice, slow, relaxed breathing. Try to slow down your breath. And when you exhale, have a long exhale, but not forced, just a little long. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes what we will do in a few minutes. He writes, you should offer your mind to me, Syam Sundar Krishna, who has a moon-like face. Moon, how does the moon look? Adorned with exquisite arched eyebrows. Eyebrows? What are eyebrows? How do they look when they're arched? And soft, curly hair, which is curly. I'm showering upon you sweet, merciful glances from my most beautiful moon-like face. So now follow the lines. Give your mind to this exercise where we will meditate on Syam Sundar. His face is effulgent like the moon. Remember the full moon in the starlit night sky. There are shining locks of hair. Beautiful arched eyebrows. He is looking somewhere with attention. And if you now, in your mind's eye, look in his eyes, the eyes are raining nectar in the form of glances of sweet mercy. There's sweet mercy in the glances. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. deeper, deeper, deeper. Adirama, Adirama, Rama, Rama, Adirama. Continue to sing. Let us remember the Lord's face that looks brilliant like the moon, his beautiful curly hair, but the most fascinating is how he looks at us with glances of sweet mercy. It's almost like when we come to Radha Syam Sunda and look at Syam Sunda, and he looks at us and we feel he sees us. And in this awareness we chant, please sing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Please, all of us again,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
One should offer one's mind to Syam Sunda, who has a moon-like face with curly locks of hair. He looks
at the devotee. He looks at us with eyes that shower a rain of sweet mercy. You please take your hands and rub them. Yes, and then bring them to their eyes as if you are palming. Just rub your eyes a little bit after. And then you could start looking again. Hello, Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, this is not unimportant. It is important. You know, there are four verses in the Gita that are repeated twice. Otherwise, Krishna doesn't repeat. The first two sets of verses is about finding your Dharma, in modern language, your authentic purpose. Purpose that is yours, not you're not the copy of someone else. And the second set of two verses is about the Sanatana Dharma, what you do in relationship to Krishna. Do you remember the first? Man, Bhava, these are two things. The mind should come into the mood of a devotee. Man, Mana, then Manmana, Bhava, Mat, Bhakto. Then you should do services. First, the mind should think of me. Think of me. Yes, now I have it. Think of me. You know, first you start with the mind. Then you do services. In modern language, you would call this the inside-out approach. Then you worship, and then you bow down to the Lord. Now, this is what the Lord wants of his devotees. Man mana bhava mak bhakto. You can read, for instance, 16, is it 64? 5, no? 65. 65, yeah. 16th chapter, 65 verse. You can read that, you don't think this was it's made up. It is man mana, that's how it starts. Then service, then worship, then obeisances. Good. My dear devotees, you might also find your entry into a more deeper form of your Krishna consciousness in prayer and prayerful chanting and so on. That is very wonderful, but it requires, of course, to mean what you pray for. And you will find also in Bhujan's excellent presentation, today we will meet at, please help me, was it 9:30, I think, or 10 o'clock? Yeah, 9:30 we start from here and go to the Giriash in the valley. 9:30, we go there, and then we will learn to be alone with Krishna, Hare Krishna, and together with the devotees, of course. We will be in closely together with each other. But then in our minds, we will worship Krishna and so on. So let me just look. Oh my God, I'm almost on time. I'm a little bit over time. Therefore, I cannot take your questions. Yes, I can't take them at this moment. Because please take your prasadam so that you are have eaten and you also have some little time to prepare yourself. You might like to bring something to sit down, a bottle of water perhaps,
and your good selves. That's the most important thing. Your bebek, you want to bring your bebek. Also, please remember to collect. There is an alone with Krishna. How is it called? A folder, a green map, beautiful green blue map for free. Before the prasadam room, we will distribute. Oh, here's a prasadam. I didn't see you. Please stay still. I have for sure forgotten something, and Prashanta will tell us.
Hare Krishna devotees. So today is the first day of our going to the forest for this beautiful exercise of learning how to be with Krishna, in the presence of Krishna. So there, first of all, during the prasadam time, there will be some distribution of materials in the courtyard. So you please go and take your materials. And please, as Maharaj said, when we go to the forest, bring an asana, something to sit on, some water, something to cover your head, because we will be in the forest. There will be a Harinam procession, which will leave at a quarter to ten. From 9:30, we'll gather here and start kirtan. So you are welcome, especially if it's your first time and you don't know the way. Please join the Harinam party, so we will all go together. So the session will include various things, as you will discover there. So please be ready. Hare Krishna. And I hope that all of you have gotten the booklet we distributed last night with a colored picture of Krishna on the front. And you should have read those instructions before you get to the hill. Haribol.